then in 2 weeks we're going to have the Haftarot of the High Holidays, Rabbi Aaron Bat, really a star-studded cast of rabbis. The reason why I've done it this way this year is because, in Yitz Hashem, next week, my wife and I are going to South Africa for 8-9 days. I've never gone away, you know, during the Elul's, never went away, but there's a dedication. Mizrahi is dedicating a Bet Midrash, a place for the study of Torah, and opening a kollel in South Africa, and they have invited little us to be the scholars in residence during the course of the 7-8 days of festivities. I'm going to be giving a whole bunch of shurim, and I'm going to come back very well rested right before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But all right, what don't we do for Klal Yisrael? All right, I mean, of course, I think 2-3 days in Kruger Park come along with the deal. We're going to go see the Brios, the Rabbeinu Shlomo's creatures, you understand. Kruger Park in South Africa is 22,000 square kilometers, you understand, precisely the size of the State of Israel. And it's inhabited by Chayes Rois, you understand. It's inhabited That's where the comparison ends. This is Artzeinu HaKedosha. Over there, well, listen, one has to see God's creatures. It certainly is a good thing to do in the month of Elul, as we prepare for Rosh Hashanah. It's a good thing to see Masecha, great things that the Rebbeinu Shem has created in this world, and everything for a purpose. I see the looks on other people. Somebody's gone on a safari to Kenya, and I don't know, others are doing all sorts of other exciting things. Anyway, what I decided to do this morning, or in these two shurim, is something I think that I may subconsciously have wanted to do for a long time. Every time you hear shurim, you may iyun on the high holidays, so it's Rosh Hashanah, and it's Yom Kippur, and sometimes there's even some time left over for Sukkot, but you know, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. And there, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there appears a day that sort of, some people know what it's about, most people don't know what it's about, and even if they may know faintly some of the historic background, it just seems to be out of place. It just so happened that Tzom Gedalia, the fast of Gedalia, just happens to be there. Now I want to upgrade Tzom Gedalia. Not only is it terribly important and certainly important for us here now to know the historic background of Tzom Gedalia, but I may even succeed in pointing out the profound relevance of Tzom Gedalia to the ascetic Yemei Tshuva. It belongs there. It's important there. It's significant. What I'm going to try and do is the following. This text, and you know I always love, will learn a perek or two in Tanakh, so you know that you've learned 2 parakim Tanakh. This is already a tremendous accomplishment. We're going to look at the text carefully, and then we will begin already to deal with some of the problems, and tomorrow in the Yetz Hashem, tomorrow morning, we will complete the, I would say, the profounder aspects of Tzom Gedalia. That's enough. You have those sheets in front of you. The first sheet should be the one that has emblazoned on it Jerusalem College for Adults, Michlelet Yerushalayim Lebevugarim. And on the right-hand side of the page, you have chapter 39 in Yirmiyahu. It's in Yirmiyahu. I should have written. Yeah, it says it there. Yirmiyahu. And the real crux of the story will be chapters 40, 41, and 42 of Yirmiyahu. On that first right-hand column, chapter 39 describes the churban, the destruction of the first Bet HaMikdash, and the fact that Chidkiyahu, king of Yehuda, attempts to flee from the onslaught of the forces of Babylon, and he is captured. His children are slaughtered before his very eyes. He is blinded. He's taken off in chains. He's taken off in exile to Babel. We're talking about a tragedy of awesome proportions. And then there, I'll from Pasuk 7, on the right-hand side of the page, Vet Enei Tzidkiyahu Iver, the eyes of Tzidkiyahu were blinded by Yasruhu Banuchushtayim, and he was bound in chains, Laviyoto Babela, to bring him to Babel. Vet Beit HaMelech, Vet Beit HaAm, Sorfu HaKazdim Beish, the Kazdim, those are the Babylonians, they burned the house of the king and the house of the people, that Chomot Yerushalayim notatsu, and they shattered the walls of Yerushalayim. That Yeter Ha'am HaNisharim Ba'ir, and the rest of the people who remained in the city, that HaNoflim Hashem Aflu Olav, that Yeter Ha'am HaNisharim, and those who fell, and whoever remained from amongst the fighters or amongst the inhabitants of the city, Heglo Nebuzaradin Rav Tabohim Bavel. Nebuzaradin, who was the great executioner of Nebuchadnezzar, he exiled them to Bavel. Umin ha'am hadalim, the poor people who remained, asher ein lehem ma'uma, those who remained with absolutely nothing. The country had been raped by the Babylonians. The ones who had absolutely nothing, Hishir Nebuzaradin Rav Tabachim Be'eretz Yehuda, Nebuzaradin, the great executioner, permitted them to remain in the land of Yehuda. Vayitin lehem kromim v'yegevim b'yomahu, and he gave them vineyards and fields on that day. What's going to be so fascinating over here is hope. Hope is going to come from those who have absolutely nothing. They may be left with the shirts on their backs, but tremendous hope at this moment of great despair. By Yitzav, we'll see right away, you'll see in a little while what I'm talking about. By Yitzav Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel al Yirmiyahu, B'yad Nebuzaradin Rav Tabachim Leymar, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, commanded about Yirmiyahu through Nebuzaradan. For the third time, he's referred to as the great executioner. Who else was a Rav Tabachim? I think Potiphar. Potiphar was the executioner of Paro. You know, the kind of fellas who maybe after a half an hour trial would decide to put people to death and put them up before a firing squad. You know, there are people who can do it to two, they can do it to thousands, they can do it to millions. That's what Nebuzaradan, and the Navi wants us to know exactly who he was. Nebuchadnezzar gives instructions about Yirmiyahu. You know what he says about Yirmiyahu? Kochenu, take him, ve'inecho simalov, and place your eyes upon him. Take good care of Yirmiyahu. Valtas lomu umarav, don't do anything bad to him. And so Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, knows what kind of chevraman Nebuzaradan is. He has to tell him very carefully, don't do anything bad to Yirmiyahu. Ki im kasher yedaber elecha, whatever he says to you, kein asei imo, this is what you should do. You should do with him whatever he says. There is not merely renewed respect. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians stand in absolute awe before Yirmiyahu. Of all the prophets, Yirmiyahu was the one who was most despised by his people. Not only despised time and time again, he was incarcerated, he was jailed, he was put into the pits. He was beaten, he was attacked. he turned into the pariah of the Jewish people, the great prophet. And then when they see that whatever he had been saying for 40 years in the streets of Jerusalem, they scoffed and they mocked him. And there it is, the precise description of what Jerusalem will look like. It's there. Nebuchadnezzar certainly has great respect for Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu had said, Babel is going to come, and they're going to conquer this land. I want you to know the time frame now. We are in the days following the Churban. It's after Tisha B'Av. It's after Tisha B'Av. It's the middle of the month of Av. I think that's the fourth time that Nebuzaradan, he goes with he goes his title. Nebuzaradan Rav Tabachim, the executioner, Unevushazban Rav Sariz, Vinergaul, Sar Ezer, Rav Mog, Bechol, Rabbe Melech, Bavel, this was a list of all of the great commanders of the king of Bavel. Vayishlechu, they sent, Vayikot Yirmiyahu, Mechatzar HaMatara, they took Yirmiyahu out of the, he had been in prison. At the time of the Purban, he was in prison, the Chatzar HaMatara. I think that they even know the place where the Chatzar HaMatara is here in Yerushalayim. Vayitnu Otoel Gedayahu ben Achikam ben Shofan Lahutzi'ehu el Abayit, and they gave him over to Gedayahu, the son of Achikam, the son of Shofan, to take him out of the house. He's a free man, and he now lives amongst the people. Vayirmiyahu hayad var Hashem v'yoto atzur b'chatzar HaMatara lemor. And to Yirmiyahu was the word of God when he was incarcerated, jailed in the Chatzar HaMatara. The word of God came to him so saying, Holoch v'omarto le'eved melech HaKushi lemor. There was a fellow called Eved Melech HaKushi who had once saved Yirmiyahu's life. And the word of God comes to Yirmiyahu, tell this fellow Eved Melech HaKushi that I'm giving him his life because he saved yours. Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakos Elokeiso, so says the God of hosts, the God of Israel. Hinini mevi advarai el ha'ir hazot l'ra'av lo d'tova. Behold, I will bring my words about this city for evil and not good. It's going to come. The destruction is upon us. V'hoyu l'fanecho v'yomahu, everything that I said about the city will be before you on that day. I will save you on that day, says God. You will not be given over into the hands of the people from whom you are frightened. You will flee, you will escape. You shall not fall by the sword. The spoil of war is going to be your life. Because you trusted me, says God. Because you trusted me, and you're the one who came to the aid and the assistance of Yirmiyahu, therefore you have your life. This is the introduction to the story. Now begins the story. That means we have the time frame. The time frame is right after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Yirmiyahu is now certainly the darling of the Babylonian world. And unfortunately, we're talking about an Eretz Yisrael that is in ruins. However, permission has been granted to those who have nothing to remain in the land. Now, that comes the story. Hadavar asher haya Yirmiyahu mi'et Hashem achar shalach oto Nebuzaradan rav tabachim min harama. We are now in chapter 40, and we've moved on to the left-hand column. The word of God that was to Yirmiyahu after Nebuzaradan Rav Tavachim is this, the fifth time the executioner, the terrorist, is called by his name, the killer. After he had been sent, Min Harama, Bekachto Oto, when he took him, Wuhu Asur Bazikim, Beto, Yirmiyahu had been bound with chains. He wasn't simply placed in jail, he was bound with chains, and Nebuzaradan had taken him out and brought him to Ramah, Ramah is to the north. Is to the north of Yerushalayim, someplace around Neve Yaakov. And he brought him there, Kol Galut Yerushalayim Yehuda, the entire exile of Yerushalayim and Yehuda, Hamuglim Bavela, they were all on their way northward, on the way into exile to Bavel. Vayikach Rav Tabachim LeYirmiyahu, and Rav Tabachim, by the way, isn't it fascinating? The Pasuk doesn't say that Nebuzaradan took him, and you'll know already that we're talking about the great killer. No, Pasuk says that Rav Tabachim took him, and you'll know, of course, that, in other words, you know what his real name is? Rav Tabachim. Nebuzaradan is his Tudat Zehut, you understand? His identity card, just so we should be able to differentiate him from other killers, you know? But he's a killer. He took Yirmiyahu Vayomer Elav. Listen to the way the killer speaks. This is, of course, going to be very difficult to swallow, but it's extremely significant. The great killer says to Yirmiyahu, he says to Hashem Elokecha, Diberet ha-ra'a hazot al ha-makom hazeh. God, your God, has said all of this evil about this place. Vayaveh, Vayas Hashem kasher diber. He came, and he did as he said. Do you understand? He's not even taking any of the credit for himself. This sounds like Tzafko Megid, L'Havdol Elef Alfi Alof Ma'avdolus, Be'ezus Hashem, D'Rabbein Yishum Geholfen. We came and we destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, exactly as he had said. He sees himself as the instrument of divine retribution. You understand how a guy is thinking? Because you sinned to God. You didn't listen to his voice. That's why this thing happened to you. Unbelievable. You know what's really going to be unbelievable about it? The guy sees it. And there may be Jews who don't see it. They don't see that everything in the hands of God. A Jew, maybe, who doesn't know how to cry anymore by the son of Tokef. The son of Tokef. B'Rosh Hashanah yikoseivun, u'v'yom tzom kippur yechoseimun. On Rosh Hashanah it's written, and on Yom Kippur it is signed and sealed. What's going to happen to each and every individual? It's Dvar Hashem. And this guy, killer, the way it is, he said that it was going to be, the decision was made by him. That's exactly what happened, because he didn't listen to God. Now, I have opened you today, I've made you free, I've taken off your chains. I have freed and opened you from the chains that are upon your hands. If it's good in your eyes to come with me to Babel, go! Come with us to Babel. I will place my eye upon you, I'm going to watch you. And if it's not good in your eyes to come to Babel, stop, you don't have to come. Yirmiyahu, you have absolute freedom. I'm afraid to say it, but please understand it, Yirmiyahu never had it so good. But this same Yirmiyahu is the one who, after 40 years of prophesying that a Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, what does he say after it all happened? How did you do it? How could you have done this? How could you have taken your great city and destroyed it and obliterated it utterly? Yirmiyahu is not enjoying this great freedom. He most probably would rather still be in chains, incarcerated deep in the belly of Yerushalayim, but a Yerushalayim that stands, and a Beis HaMikdash that is majestically upon Har HaBayit. That's not the way it was. So therefore he tells him, Re'ei kol ha'aretz ha'panach, take a look, the whole land is before you. El tov el ayosher ve'einach ol ha'lechad, where it's good and right in your eyes to go, shom aleich, there go. Ve'odenu lo yashuv. Ve'odenu lo yashuv, the Mefarshim say, means that Yirmiyahu hasn't said anything. He has not turned in any direction. It seems that he does not want to go to Bavel. He doesn't want to go to Bavel. So Nebuzaradan tells him, "V'shuvel gedayohu ben Achikam ben Shaphan." So go back, return, and you can go to Gedayohu ben Achikam ben Shaphan, asher hifkid melech Bavel ba'ode Yehuda, that the king of Bavel has appointed in the cities of Yehuda. B'shevi tova tocham, you can stay with him in the midst of the people. Or el kol ha'yoshev be'einecho lelechet lecho, wherever it's good in your eyes to go, go. Vayitein lo rav tabachim, the mass murderer gave him arucha, food, umas eid, and gifts, vayishal chayu. And he sends Yirmiyahu away. Vayavo Yirmiyahu el gedayohu ben achikam ha'mitzbata, and Yirmiyahu came to Gedaliah ben Achikam in Mitzpah, that's also north of Yerushalayim. Vayeshiv ito betoch ha'am, and he stayed with him in the midst of the people, hanisharim ba'aretz, who remained in the land. There are still people in Eretz Yisrael. Most probably the majority have been taken off in chains into exile. That is from those who remained after the slaughter of the Jews of Eretz Yisrael. Yirmiyahu chooses to remain in Eretz Yisrael. Now watch, remember, we are no more, next Pasuk is most probably describing a situation 3 weeks after the Churban. Maybe it's around Rosh Chodesh El, the beginning of El. Gedayahu ben Achikam has been appointed governor of the land, and Nebuchadnezzar said that anybody who wants to remain may remain in the land. We're talking about a people that had been at war for years. The death, the destruction, the absolute obliteration of community after community. The massacres that had taken place. And then all of a sudden, next pasuk, look what's happening. Vayishmu kol sorei hachayolim asher basadeh. All of the officers of the army who are in the field heard. The word begins to go. Jews are hiding all over Eretz Yisrael. They're in the forests. They're on the mountaintops. They're in caves. We will see that there are Jews who had fled across the Jordan from before the onslaught of Bavel. And the word begins to make its way. Like, we don't even know how the word makes its way. But they hear. The officers who are in the field hear. Hema van Shem, they and their people. Ki hifkid melech Bavel et Gedayohu ben Achikam. Ba'aretz, that the king of Bavel has appointed Gedayahu ben Achikam over the land. V'chi hifkid ito, interesting, the same word is used in the pasuk twice, but it has a different meaning each time. The first time around, hifkid means that Gedayahu ben Achikam is appointed. And the second time, it means, comes from the word pikadon, hifkid, he had given over to him for safekeeping the men, women, and children, v'chihif kidito, anoshim, v'noshim, v'tav, men, women, and children, umidalat ha'aretz, and the poor, the absolute poverty-stricken of the land, v'asher lo hoglu bavela, those who had not gone in, often to exile in Bavel. But the word pakat has a lot of meaning. Is it the first day of Rosh Hashanah that the Kriyas HaTorah is Vahashem Pakad et Sarah Ka'asher Amar, and God, well, it has a number of meanings. Vahashem Pakad et Sarah, he remembered Sarah and he gave her a child. Could Vahashem Pakad et Sarah also mean that God gives over for safekeeping a pikadon, an object for safekeeping into the hands of Sarah? Isn't every Jewish child a pikadon in the hands of parents? Hashem pakad et Sarah. Here, Gedayahu is appointed. He's appointed over Eretz Yisrael. He's the governor, and the people of Eretz Yisrael are in his hands. And the word starts going through the field. And you know, miracle of miracles. Jews start coming out of the mountaintops, out of the caves, out of the fields. They all start flowing toward the Gedaliah ben Achikam. They came to Gedaliah Mitzvah. And you know who else came? These people are going to be important. Yishmael ben Netanyahu. The Yishmael part is the significant part, not the Netanyahu part. Yishmael, the son of Netanyahu, and Yochanan, and Yonatan, the sons of Koreach, and Seroya, the son of Tanchumat, and the sons of Ephai Hanitofati, V'Yizanyahu ben Hamachati, Hemavan Hashem, they and their people. These were leaders of forces, Jewish, whatever was left of a tattered Jewish army out in the field. By Yishova lehem Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shofan, and Gedaliah the son of Achikam, the son of Shofan, swore to them, Ula Amshehem Lamor, into their people, saying, Al Tiru me'avot ha-kazdim. Don't be afraid of serving the Kazdim, the Babylonians. Shvu va'oretz, live in the land, v'ivdu et melach bavel, and serve the king of Babel, the Tavlachem, and it'll be good for you. V'ani hinini yoshev ha-mitzvah, I, Gedaliah says, I will be in Mitzvah, la'mod lefnei ha-kazdim, to stand before the Babylonians, asher yavou eleinu, who will come to us, v'atem, and you. You know what you should do? Isfu yayin v'kayitz, go out and gather wine, and kayitz means all sorts of fruits that dry during the summer. Shemen, bring oil, v'simu b'chleichem, and place them in your vessels. U'shvu b'areichem, live in your cities, asher tefas them, that you grabbed hold on to. Everything had been, all the cities were empty. People just came in and took over homes and houses. I don't know how many millions had been taken off into exile. Now, this pasuk is an extremely, extremely fascinating pasuk. It's the end of summer, right? It's Elul. A month, less than a month after the Korban. The country had been under siege for 3 years. And do you know what Gedaliah is describing to them? He's describing to them a bounty of food out in the fields. Just go out and pick it up. And we're going to see a few something from now. There is tremendous wealth in the land. Where did it come from? A land that was chavet, that was destroyed. Who was able to go out into the fields and work the fields? And all of a sudden, this land, the land... You know, I wanted to control myself till tomorrow. I'm not going to control myself. If you just turn over to the back page, on the very back page, number 3, there's a medrash. The second medrash. You see, it says, Shin Chav Hei over there, Vasoro Anoshim, Nimtzu Ubam, Vayomru'el Yishmael Altimitenu. This is going to be later on. 3. 2, I'm sorry. Okay. All right. 2, the Midrash is 2. I knew that when I did that 3 and I did that 2, I was going to end up confusing myself. But that's the order in which I wanted to learn it. But I'm messing up the order anyway. Just forget it all. In Midrash 2, we're going to have in the next chapter that people are going to say to somebody, spare our lives because we have a tremendous wealth of food that's hidden in the fields. That's going to be the second time around when we find out that this land in the midst of Churban is so prosperous. And the Medrash comments on it. It says Vasora Anoshim. You see that? 10 people Nimtzubam. There were 10 people by Yomru, and they said to Yishmael, out to me, Tenu, don't kill us, and we will show you where we have all of our hidden agricultural wealth. Zeh Shomer HaKosov, this is what the Pasuk says, Im Yishmu V'Yavodu Yichlu B'Tuv Yimeyam. If they will listen and they will serve, their days will end good. V'im Lo Yishmu, and if they won't listen, Bashelach Yavodu, they will be cut down by the sword. Im Shomim Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if Israel listens to God, V'ovdin Oto, and they serve Him, Amalei Yimeyam B'Tova, I will fill their days with good. I mean, I think that we're already beginning to sense the Yom Neroyim relationship over here. Lever says, God says, if Jews listen to me, I'm going to fill your days with good. To shame Shoma David, as David said, Yemei Shenoteinu Behem Shivim Shana. Shame Shoma Moshe, as Moshe said, if Mispar Yomecha Amalei, I will give you your full. The full number of days. Yichlu betov yomeyam. Their days are going to be full of good. Listen to the Medrash now. Atomotze shtei shanim asta ha'aretz peidot merubim mashalo asta kol yomot ha'olam. There are 2 years that Eretz Yisrael gave out produce like it never did in all of its history. Shana Achas, the first year was B'knisatan La'aretz, the year that they entered Eretz Yisrael. As the Pasuk in Devarim says, you know what you're going to find there? Ubatim Meleim Kol Tuv HaShalom Mileta. You're going to capture houses full of all the good, and you didn't fill those houses with the good. That first year the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael, they found wealth in this country. Uchtiv, and it says, Vayichdu Misham Zemora, when the Meraglim came, they cut a vine, Vasor B'dei Odom Toinim Oto, 10 people were carrying it. Vishona Achad, you know when the other great year was? The greatest year Eretz Yisrael ever had, agriculturally. Vishona Achad, Shegolu Min Ha'aretz, the year that they went into exile. Because it says, Vasor Anoshim Nimtzubam, there were 10 people who were found there, Vayomru, and Yishmael, they said to Yishmael, ultimately, tell me, don't kill us. Ki yesh lonu matmonim basada, we have all sorts of things hidden in the field. Chitim, usa'odim. They had wheat and barley, shalohoyo lehem makom hechem lita, they had no place where to put this bountiful food. Vayutonim also basada, they hid it in the field. Because of Echodome, Tovim Hayu Chale Cheret Michale Rav, Ve'il Shomo Shalehem Hoyim Lo Yishmu Vesha. Okay. The important point of the Medrash is that the Medrash is saying that the second great year that the country had was the year of the Churban. What does it mean? What does it really mean? Huh? You know what it really means? And we're going to see that soon too. No sooner had God brought about the destruction of Yerushalayim, he regretted it. No sooner had he done it, Nichom Hashem Alakha, the Rabbeinu Shleilam already regretted the terrible, he surveyed the destruction and he could not take it. And there was, that's one way of looking at it. And we've talked a number of times in the past about the idea that after every period of great suffering, God rebuilds the bridges of love with his people by showering upon them great blessings. The blessing was right there in the month of Av and in El in the fields that year, the second greatest year Eretz Yisrael ever had. God wants to demonstrate to his people, I'm sorry, Let's start all over again. I always say about the book of Jonah. You know what's so fascinating about the book of Jonah? Well, who are the main characters in the book of Jonah? There's Jonah, there's God, there's the whale, the people of Nineveh, right? Those are all the main characters. Do you understand that in the book of Nineveh, in the book of Jonah, everybody does tshuva? The big fish that swallowed him spits him out again onto dry land. The Jonah who didn't want to go to Nineveh goes to Nineveh. The people of Nineveh, when they're told by Jonah, oh, dar boim yom, in another 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed, they all do tshuva. And you know who else does tshuva? God does tshuva. The same God who wanted to bring destruction upon the city of Nineveh says to Jonah, I can't do it. I can't do it. I am overwhelmed by a sense of mercy and compassion. I can't do it. You want me to destroy them? Jonah, I'm sorry. I created them. I can't do it. God also does tshuva. God's tshuva for Churban HaBayit was visible in the fields in the days after Churban HaBayit. But I'll take it one step further. You know what it really means? That he already regretted it before it happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always magdim refuah lamakom. Before the Ribono Shel Olam brings punishment upon the Jewish people, he has already laid the groundwork, prepared the way for their rejuvenation, for their being reborn all over again. It's all prepared in advance. Incidentally, I believe that's exactly the meaning of the Gemara when the Gemara says that tshuva is one of the things that was created before the world came into being. Do you know why God created tshuva before the world? Because the world needed the refuah before the makkah. Before man sins, there has to be a way out for him, and the way is tshuva. We can undo the past. Amazing. We can undo the past. That's what tshuva is all about. You can undo the past. The Ribono Shel Olam is doing tshuva. He has it all prepared in advance. And they're going to have the greatest year. The greatest year of all is the year of the Churban. Would you have ever believed it? Would you have ever believed it? But there's a human element, and the human element is the one that's going to become terribly, terribly important over here. God can pour out his blessings, but we still retain the freedom, unfortunately sometimes, to mess it all up. We can ruin it all. And then, of course, there are times that we turn around, Ribono Shel Olam, what did you do to us? And the evidence is clearly there. We've ruined it for ourselves. We're capable of doing that. It's the tragedy of the human condition. Watch what's going to happen. Watch what's going to happen. I'm getting aggravated already. Back onto the first page. Last pasuk down at the bottom. V'gam, listen to what's happening in Eretz Yisrael. V'gam kol ha'yehudim asher b'Moav u'b'nei Amon u'b'Edom, all the Jews who are in Moab and in Amon and in Edom. V'asher b'chol ha'aratzos, all of the lands and all of the Jews fled Eretz Yisrael. They crossed the Jordan to Amon, Moab, Edom. I don't know how many other lands. There may have been Jews all over Asia Minor who had fled from before the onslaught of Babel, and the word goes out. Do you understand? The word goes out without benefit of a telephone. There wasn't a single telephone available to all of those hundreds of thousands of Jews in the field, and the message gets to them. What's the message? There's hope, and there's abundance, and there's blessing in that devastated Eretz Yisrael. Shamu, they heard Kinatan Lalo Babel Shadit Lihuda, that the king of Babel had given, permitted a remnant of Yehuda, Vichi Hifkid Aleim, Ed Gedalio ben Achikam ben Shofan, and that he had appointed upon them Gedalio ben Achikam ben Shofan. You know what they did? By Yoshuvu Kola Yehudim, Mikola Mikomot, Ashenidichu Sham. Now, when I read something in a pasuk in Tanakh, it's absolute truth. Do you know what the pasuk is saying? They all returned from all of the places to which they had been dispersed. Jews hear that there's hope in Eretz Yisrael, they flock back to Eretz Yisrael. Mamish, weeks after the terrible Churban. I don't know why the picture that comes to mind right now is after the Nuchte Befreiung, after the liberation of Jews from the camps. So they trekked back to their homes only to find there was nothing to go back to. It was all gone. Over here, they don't trek back. Jews speed back from all over. They're going back to Eretz, so there's still hope. Vayovo Eretz Yehuda, and they came to the land of Yehuda El Gedalio Hamitzvasa, Vayaspu Yayin Vokayitz Harbe Ma'od. Second time around, they gathered wine and dry fruits, Harbe Ma'od. Very few descriptions of this sort in all of Tanakh, of the abundance of the land. Harbe Ma'od. Who was out in the field during the spring planting? Who was pruning? Who was doing anything in the field? Nobody. I shouldn't say nobody. The Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rebbeinu Shalom was out in the fields. And here comes this great blessing right after Churban. And as we say, after great Churban, there has to be great blessing. V'yochanan ben Koreach, the whole Soraya Chayolim, Asher Basod El Boel Gedalyohu HaMitzvasa, and Yochanan the son of Koreach, and all of the officers of the army who were out in the field, they all came to Gedalyohu HaMitzvasa. And here, I would say that most probably at this point, having gone from chapter 39, that was death and destruction, all of Yerushalayim in ruins, the king's children slaughtered before his very eyes, and then he himself is blinded. We have gone in one chapter from absolute despair to great hope. And the hopes are going to be shattered and dashed. And it's going to be our own fault. Vayomru Elov, Yochanan ben Kareach, they came to Gdayo, Vayomru Elov, and they said to him, Hayodoa Teda, do you know? Ki ba'alis melech b'nei Amon shalach et Ishmael ben Netanya lahakodcha nafesh. Do you know that Ba'alis, the king of the sons of Amon, has sent Ishmael ben Netanya? That's the fellow we learned about before. Before he was Netanyahu. I'm much happier that right now he's Netanya. Yishmael, you understand? Yochanan ben Kareach, get these names straight, but I'll tell you, if you know these names, your light years ahead of anybody else. You can win a Bible contest. Yochanan ben Kareach is the officer who tells Gedalyahu ben Achikam ben Shofan that Yishmael ben Netanya planned to assassinate him. You understand? There's somebody who knows of the assassination plan. Why will they assassinate him? Because the king of Ammon, the other side of the Jordan, you know what he wants? He wants chaos in Eretz Yisrael. Because all of the nations around Eretz Yisrael feel if there will be chaos here, the rule of law will end. Everybody will be able to take from the spoils. he enters into an alliance with Yishmael ben Netanya, who is from the Davidic family. He's from the family of Malchus. Yishmael ben Netanya is jealous of the fact that Gedaliahu ben Achikam has become the governor of the land. Everybody has their own own interests in mind, and in the course of their own interests, they will bring such profound tragedy on the Jewish people. It's unbelievable. But the point that I'm really going to want to get you to is, how do the people feel? What's going through their minds? Watch. They said to him, do you know that the Baalis, the king of the sons of Ammon, has sent Yishmael ben Netanya l'hakotcha nefesh, to kill you? Below ha'emin lahem. This pasuk onto a whole discussion of Lashon Hara. Gedaliah ben Achikam at Bitzin refuses to accept Lashon Hara. You're telling me that Yishmael ben Netanya plans on assassinating me? I don't believe it. So the Gemara says, you don't have to believe Lashon Hara. I will lemeifesh me boy. You have to be careful. You have to make certain. You can't be foolish. You have to be careful. And Gedaliah ben Achikam wasn't careful. Watch. V'Yochanan ben Kareach amar al Gedaliah v'aseite b'mitzvah. Yochanan ben Kareach said to Gedaliah in private, in mitzvah, saying, El chanov ha'akek Yishmael ben Netanya, I'll go and I will kill Yishmael ben Netanya v'ish lo yeda. Nobody will know. There will be no accountability. I will do it in a way that nobody will know that the order or the approval comes from you. Let me go kill him. V'ish lo yeda. Lama yakek anafish, why should he kill you? And you know what will happen if he kills you? And our folks who call Yehuda, hanibatsim elecho, all of Yehuda that have gathered to you are going to be dispersed. Va'ovda shedis Yehuda, the end of Yehuda, the remnant, it's all going to be lost. It'll be tragic if you're assassinated. Gedaliah ben Achikam said to Yochanan ben Kareach, al tase et hadavar hazeh, don't do this thing. Ki sheker at hadover el Yishmael. You're lying about Yishmael. Vayehi b'chodesh hashvi. Chapter 41. B'chodesh hashvi. You know what day of Rosh Chodesh this, of the Chodesh hashvi it is? It's Rosh Chodesh. You know what more? It's Rosh Hashanah. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's the Rosh Hashanah after Tisha B'Av. 7 weeks later, Vayehi b'chodesh hashvi bo Yishmael ben Netanya ben Elishama mizera hamalucha. Yishmael ben Netanya, the son of Elishama, who is from the seed of royalty, the Rabbi Hamelech and officers of the king. 10 people came with him to Gedaliah ben Achikam to mitzvah, and they ate bread together at mitzvah. They most probably ate the sudas oshishana together. Most probably some gedavim, some zchayuski ben penisana tekev. They listened to tekev shofar. They came home and they had the suda of Rosh Hashanah. Vayakam Yishmael ben Netanya v'aseret ha'anoshim asher hayu yito. Of course, I see Julius Caesar before my very eyes. Yishmael ben Netanya, the 10 people who were with him, got up, I imagine, after benching. They got up. Vayaku et Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shofan b'charev. They smote Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shofan by the sword. By Yomet Oto, and he killed him. It says they hit him, but he killed him. It was Yishmael ben Netanyahu that gave the final blow with the sword that killed him. Who did he kill? He killed the person Asher Hifkid Melech Bavel Baretz, that the king of Bavel had appointed over the land. That Kol Yehudim Asher Rohayu Ito. At Gedaliah by mitzvah, all the Jews that were with Gedaliah in mitzvah, that hakazdim haninzim shon, the Babylonian soldiers who were there, at anshei hamulchama, the people who were, hikai Yishmael, there was a slaughter Now, according to many opinions, and we'll see that as well, it happened on Rosh Hashanah. There are opinions that say that it happened on the second day. When do we fast Tzom Gedalia? Gimel, the third day. Does it mean that we will see the opinions that say that yes, he was killed on Rosh Hashanah, but a fast day was established for after Rosh Hashanah? That means from the very beginning, Tzom Gedalia was always a nidcha. From day one, we never fast on the day of the assassination, but the assassination sealed the fate of the Jewish people. Sealed the fate. The churban was complete. There was hope. There was great hope that Jews would remain in Eretz Yisrael. Jews would return. But now all hopes were dashed. On the second day, after Gedalia had been killed, and nobody knew yet, it's on this pasuk that the Medrash was talking. Remember, Jews were in the process of flowing toward Mitzvah to Gedalia ben Achikam. People came from Shechem and from Shiloh and from the Shomron, 80 people, Megulchei Zakan Ukru Ebegadim, whose beards had been shaven and their garments torn, Umid Godedim, and they had made all sorts of incisions into their skin from the pain of the Churban. Umincho Levona Beyadam Lahavi Beit Hashem. And Mincha and Levona, they brought Mincha and frankincense in their hands to bring to the house of God. They may have been coming from much further. They may have left home yet at a time when the Beit HaMikdash had not yet been destroyed. They may have been coming, for all we know, they may have been coming from the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. By the time they reach Shechem, Shiloh, and the Shomron, they find out that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. They tear their garments. We're talking about people who are great mourning and great pain. But now they've heard that Gedalia is in Mitzvah. Where is everybody flowing to? Everybody is flowing toward Mitzvah. And nobody knows yet of the assassination. Yishmael has made certain that nobody remains to tell the tale. Everybody in Mitzvah has been slaughtered. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Terrible, terrible story. Vayetze Yishmael ben Netanya lekrosam in Mitzvah, and Yishmael ben Netanya went out toward them from Mitzvah, holeich holoch ubocheh. This Yishmael ben Netanya, the killer, the assassin, comes out of Mitzvah crying crocodile tears. Vayehi kivgoshotam, vayomer elayim, and it came to pass when he met them, he said to them, bo el Gedalia ben Achikam, come to Gedalia ben Achikam. What is he crying about? Obviously he's crying because he sees these are people who've taken the Churban Beit HaMikdash seriously. So he in a sense takes them into his confidence that day. He's also crying his eyes out 2 months later about the Churban HaBayit. So he says, Vayihi kevor motochayon, when they came into the city, Vayishchotem Yishmael ben Netanya el tochapor, huva hanoshim asherito. He and his people slaughtered these people who had been coming from Shechem, from Shiloh. Basora anoshim nimtzuha. I wonder why it's always 10 people. Yishmael ben Netanyahu comes to Gedalia with 10 people. From the 80 that are being slaughtered, there are 10 who say. What do they say? Vayomer el Yishmael. They said to Yishmael, this is the pasuk upon which the Medrash was based. Ultimately, don't put us to death. Ki yesh lanu matmonim basade, because we have all sorts of things hidden in the field. Chitim, usaolim, shemen, udvash. There's wheat, and there's barley, and there's oil, and there's honey. Vayech bal yistap v'lo hem itam. B'tol hachem, he didn't put them to death together with their brothers. V'habor asher hishlich sham yishmael kol pigrei anoshim ashi hikob b'yad gedayohu. Who asher osa ha-melech aso, if they basho melech Yisrael, Otom Mile Yishmael ben Netanyahu Chalonim. The pit into which he threw them all was a pit that had been made by Asa, king of Yehuda, as he tried to protect himself before Baasha, the king of Israel, in a battle that had taken place years earlier. By Yishmael and Kol Shaded Ha'am, Yishmael captured all of the rest of the remnants, his fellow Jews, that are in Mitzvah, at Benot HaMelon, the daughters of the king, that Kol Ha'am Anisharim in Mitzvah, and all of the people who remained in Mitzvah, Asher Hifkid Nebuzaradin Rav Tabachim, I went back to him, that Nebuzaradin, the great executioner, had appointed as Gedaliah ben Achikam, by Yishvim, Yishmael ben Netanya, captured them all, by Yelech La'avor El Bnei Amon. And you know where he's going to take them? He's going to take the remnants of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. He's going to take them into exile. He's going to take them across the Jordan to Ammon. The story, I tell you, the story is so horrible. Now, the story is going to become terribly important in an understanding of the ascetic of Tshuva. That's where I'm going. A terrible, terrible, terrible story. I mean, of course, on the surface, and that's absolutely true, unfortunately, tragically, it's true. There are times at which we are our own worst enemies. There's no question about that. There's no doubt about it. What can we do? That's the way it is. Whether it be personally, or it be communally, or it be politically, we are our own worst enemies. And I still believe that we're the greatest people on the face of this earth. But when we goof big. We don't make small mistakes. Yes? His motive was plain, pure envy. Envy. Plain envy. Mm-hmm. And when people are overwhelmed with envy, they simply can't see straight anymore. Envy. So what does the great envy, what does he do as a result of his great envy? This Yishmael ben Netanya, he has killed, I don't know how many people he's killed. He has destroyed and shattered all hope for the Jewish people. And you know what's amazing? What's amazing is, how long is his great victory going to last? I think that's the most fascinating part of the story. He did it. He's destroyed Yishmael, he has destroyed Gedaliah ben Achikam, he has destroyed and shattered all hope for the Jewish people. And where is he going to go? He's going to go be a vassal in the court of Ammon. By Yishma Yochanan ben Kareh, b'chol soriach ha'yolim e'asher ito et kol hara'ah, asher also Yishmael ben Netanya. When Yochanan ben Kareh, remember the one who had warned Gedaliah ben Achikam in advance, when he and all of the officers who were with him heard the terrible evil that had been done by Yishmael ben Netanya, by Yikwet Kol Anoshim, they took all the people who were with them, by Yelchu Lihilachem im Yishmael ben Netanya, they went to wage war with Yishmael ben Netanya. So you know what we have now? It's no longer Babylonian against Jew, it's now Jew fighting Jew. By Yimtzu Otoel Mayim Adavim Asher B'Givon, and you know where they found them? They met up with Yishmael ben Netanya by the Mayim Rabim Asher B'Givon. I think the Medrash doesn't say anything here, but I find this passage very fascinating. It's the end of summer. What's Eretz Yisrael like at the end of the summer? Dry! Givon is also north of Yerushalayim. I don't think any place else is there a description of Mayim Rabim, the great waters of Givon. Great waters, what are you talking about? The whole country turns into a little trickle this time of year.
We're already waiting for the first rains to come after Yontif, and then the Rosh Hashanah send down rains. They meet up at the Mayim Rabim, Asher B'Givon.
And it says, by Hikirot Kol Ha'om Asheret Yishmoel and Yochanan Ben Karev, take a look at this. It's amazing. When the people who are with Yishmoel, the assassin, they see Yochanan ben Karea coming with his people, do you know what they all do? They abandon Yishmael ben Netanyahu, they join forces with Yochanan ben Karea, and do you know what happens with Yishmael ben Netanyahu? He flees. His whole great victory that was the result of the assassination lasted a day? 2 days? Take a look. Look at this psukim by he kidot kol ha'om asher et Yishmael, when all of the people who were with Yishmael saw Yochanan ben Kareah, that koch sorei achayolim asher itom, and all of the officers who were with him by Yismachu, they were happy by Yosobu kol ha'om asher shovo Yishmael men ha'mitzvah. All of the people that Yishmael had captured from Mitzvah turned around by Yoshuvu vayechu and Yochanan ben Kareah, and they all turned around and they went with Yochanan ben Kareah. V'Yishmael ben Netanya nimlach, Yishmael ben Netanya fled b'shmona anashim. He doesn't have 10 anymore. He doesn't have a minion, even counting him. Ice minion. And they fled with Yochanan by Yelech el Bnei Amon, and he went to Bnei Amon. Look at all the tragedies that have befallen us, all the result of our own. I still haven't made all that we've accomplished so far is what we did 2.5 chapters. Do you know what 2.5 chapters Tanakh is? But I still haven't brought you to the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. What's the relationship to the Aseres Yemei Teshuva? Watch. I'm going to have to leave something for tomorrow too, you understand. Good question. Where's Yirmiyahu? We don't hear a word from Yirmiyahu. I'm not even sure that Yirmiyahu has already arrived. I don't know where he is, but he's going to come back. He's going to enter the picture again right away. Most probably for the worst tragedy of his life. Worst tragedy of his life is waiting for him now. Because now, after the Churban, there's, as I said, there's a renewed respect for Yirmiyahu. Renewed respect. Anyway, here we are in the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. It's Nachash Hashanah, you understand? Can you imagine what kind of an Aseres Yemei Teshuva we're talking about over here? Jews waging war with fellow Jews. Jews are slaughtering one another. It's a terrible, terrible period of time. And now, of course, what descends is from the moment of great joy of a few days before. If you want to know how they entered Erev Rosh Hashanah was most probably a time of great joy. They look around and they see the abundance in the fields. Jews in Mitzvah are coming from all over the world. Jews are coming back. Everybody's coming out into the open. Erev Rosh Hashanah was most probably one of the most joyous days that Klal Yisrael had had in many years. New hope. New hope all over again. By the second, by Rosh Hashanah in the afternoon, they have gone to what most probably is as bad as Churban Abayit, or maybe even worse. The Rambam says, with the assassination of Gedalia, Nichba Gachelet Yisrael, the coal, the fire of Israel is completely extinguished. It's all over. Now Yirmiyahu. ויקח יוחנן בן קרח וכל שרי החיילים אשר איתו את כל שארית העם אשר השיב מעת ישמעאל בן נתניה מן המצפה. יוחנן בן קרח, now remember, יוחנן בן קרח has done two great things. He is the one who, well, he tried to do one great thing. He was the one who warned Gedalia ben Achikam in advance that there is a plan to assassinate him, and he knows exactly who's planning to assassinate him. He also offered that he would kill Yishmael ben Netanya.
Both were rejected by Gedaliah. He is the one who, after the assassination, saves the remnant of Jews from the hands of Yishmael ben Netanya. And now watch. Yochanan ben Karech and all of the officers who were with him, they took the remnants of the people that he had brought back, he had returned from Yishmael ben Netanya from Mitzvah, Ach Ahika Gedaliah ben Achikam, after Yishmael had smitten Gedaliah ben Achikam. It's quite a pasuk over there, you understand. He took all of the people who remained in Mitzvah, whom he had taken back from Yishmael, the same, self-same Yishmael, who had assassinated Gedaliah ben Achikam, Givarim, he took the men, Anshei HaMulchama, the men of war, the Noshim, the women, the children, Sarisim, the officers, Asher Heishiv mi Givon, all those that he brought back from Givon. Remember, the battle took place right near the great waters of Givon. Vayelchu vayeshu begeirut kimham asher eitzel beit lechem lolechet lavom Mitzrayim. Here comes the great test. There's going to be an awesome and a frightening test of the Jewish people. Do you know where they are now? It's maybe the third or fourth day of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. They've begun a journey southward. Yochanan ben Kareach plans on taking the remnants of the Jewish people of Eretz Yisrael. He's going to take them to Mitzrayim. And they are now encamped near Beit Lechem. And there is a sort of a plantation or an area of land called Gerut Kimham, the place where Kimham lived. There was a fellow by the name of Kimham to whom David had given certain lands around Beit Lechem. Why are they going to Mitzrayim? If they have caused them, because of the Kazdim, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, Ki Yaru Mipneim, because they were frightened. Ki Hiko Yishmael ben Netanyahu and Gedaliah ben Achikam asher hifkid melech Babel ba'aretz. Because Yishmael ben Netanya had killed Gedaliah ben Achikam, whom the king of Babel had appointed over the land. The repetitions are fascinating, and some of these repetitions we're going to deal with. They're frightened, because they feel now that the wrath of Babel is going to be poured out upon them, and there's only one place they can go to. Only one place. There are two superpowers of the day. East-West, here it was North-South. The power of the North was Babel, power of the South was Mitzrayim. They hope that they will find refuge in Mitzrayim. That's where they're on their way to find refuge there. Chapter 42. The crucial chapter. Vayikshu kol sore hachayolim v'yochlin ben koreach v'yizanyahu ben oshayo v'chol ha'am mikatan v'ad gadol. All of the officers, and Yochanan ben Kareach, and Yizanyahu ben Hoshaya, and all of the people, from small talk, we're talking about everybody, by Yikshu, they came. To whom? Where did they go? Where did they go? By Yomru el Yirmiyahu Hanavi. They said to Yirmiyahu Hanavi, Tipol not chinosenu lefonecha, let our prayers fall before you, v'hit palel ba'adenu el Hashem elokecha, and pray for us to God your God, va'ad kol hasha'edit hazot. Ki nish'arnu pray for this remnant. Ki nish'arnu ma'at meharbe, because we have remained few from many. Kasher einecha ro'ot otanu, as your eyes see us. I don't know where Yirmiyahu was. I don't know. He may have been any place between Mitzvah to Givon to Beit Lechem. He had originally planned on going back to Gedaliah ben Achikam. Maybe he left, it seems, on the day of the assassination. Yochanan ben Kareach, who had predicted the assassination, was no longer in Mitzvah. He had already left Mitzvah before Rosh Hashanah. It may very well be that Yirmiyahu had joined those who left Mitzvah, and now everybody is gathered again outside Beit Lechem. And they turn to Yirmiyahu, take a look at what's happened to us. V'yaged lono Hashem l'kecho, let God your God tell us, את הדרך אשר נלך בה, ואת הדבר אשר נעשה, the way in which we shall go, and that which we shall do. What should we do?
Remember the song? Fuahin velech gain? Vevet en fenemir? They want to know where to go. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. You can also hear in this pasuk the sound of some of the psukim. You have it in Parashat Yitro, where Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yitro, or is it Yitro tells Moshe, you know, that I'm teaching them. Vaudatlan, you should let them know it haderech hashayelchu ba, the way in which they should go and the things that they should do. They ask of Yirmiyo, what should we do? Vayomer aleim Yirmiyo anovi. Yirmiyo anovi said to them, Shomati, I've heard. Now listen to his response. His response is terribly important. Because in his response we're already going to feel, and this, as I said earlier, is going to be terribly important in our understanding of what's happening here. We have to feel the profound sense of fear for the destiny of the people. They are in a terrible, terrible situation. It's going to take great strength and great courage. They're going to have to make very, very difficult decisions. And we're going to have to sum up all of the competing feelings, fear, trepidation, hope. There are a lot of feelings going on. And all of these feelings, I mean, this is going to be the point that I want to make, and I think I'm going to make it reasonably well, that the feelings of the people are going to sum up the feelings that Klal Yisrael should have during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. We're going to see Klal Yisrael and the individual Jew through the prism of Jews standing before Yirmiyahu, praying, what's the derech hashenelah? What road should we take? What is it that we should do? Isn't that, by the way, the question that every Jew should be asking himself during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva? What should we do? What should we do? And I think the next few psukim are going to be this microcosm in which we're going to feel the pain, the terror, the fear. Ah, the terrible, terrible dilemma of a people. And how they fail. We're going to see tragic failure. I'm also going to point out that this tragic failure didn't have to be. In a sense, the people are being tested. For that matter, all of life is a test for each and every one of us. There are always moments at which we're being tested. Who does God test? Why does he test people? Why do we have to find ourselves in moral and other terrible dilemmas so often? Here is going to be a classic dilemma for the Jewish people. They don't know where to go. They feel that Babel, as soon as it becomes known that Gedalia ben Achikam has been assassinated, there is going to be a reign of terror in Eretz Yisrael. They see only one route of escape. Only one route is open to them. And that one route is Mitzrayim. The Yeshua, the great salvation, is going to be Mitzrayim. Intellectually, they're most probably right. Politically, they're absolutely right. From the point of view of, I mean, I don't know, if one would ask a Shaila, if one would ask a Shaila from a Rav to paskin al pi halacha, what would he paskin? Sakonis nefoshes. Sakonis nefoshes, pikuach nefesh over here in Eretz Yisrael.
The crushing might of Babylon is going to come down upon you. Even the Baramtzich on Kleif.
What could a posek say other than that? Then again, yes, that's one thing that a posek would say. Or as a friend of mine told me, he was the day of the Levaya of Harav Ra'anan, Hashem Yim Kom Damo of Tel Rameda. So, you know, somebody may be a silly or seemingly intellectual comment on him. What was he doing there anyway? Yeah, people don't understand. With that kind of thinking, I think we should now be on our way back to Poland. You can even get quite kosher food in Poland now, you understand. Yeah. So the one in Hebron shouldn't be there, then Yerushalayim becomes the front line, so don't be in Yerushalayim, then Bnei Brak is the front line, and then it's the ocean. Chazal always looked at those who lived on the border, and Rashi points it out in Pashas Zosah Brach a number of times. The people who live on the border, they are the true heroes of Klal Yisrael, because they set the border. And if they wouldn't be at the border, I'll be the border. There's a great dilemma that is now being faced by the people. Most probably, as I say, from a halachic point of view, one would say, on Kleif, flee for your very lives. Yirmiyahu is now being asked to pray for them. What should they do? What should they do? I'm sorry, we'll just have to finish it tomorrow morning. I know it's unfair. That's the way it is. You're being tested.